Coming back now to Psalm 62, a very familiar psalm. I've preached from this psalm many times here and other places, but it's a blessing every time I look at it and every time I read it. It's a blessing to me. I'm entitling the message from this psalm, from this word that's repeated over and over, only. He only is my rock. He only is my rock. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Verse 6, He only is my rock, my salvation. He is my defense, only. We only have one God, one mediator, one way of salvation. And that word only is repeated at least four or five times in this psalm. Now this psalm has been one of my favorite psalms for many, many, many years. I preached from this psalm several times over the years. I hope to be able to bring you a study from this psalm this evening. And I pray, as always, that the Lord will bless His word to my heart and to your heart, and that it'll be a blessing unto us. By the power of God, the Holy Spirit, that He give us an interest and ears to hear, an interest to hear His word and ears to hear it, as it is in truth the word of God. And may Christ be exalted in my heart and in yours as we seek to worship Him and to exalt Him. In Luke 24, the Lord Jesus said to His disciples as He was departing back to glory, we read it a moment ago, He said, all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So the prophets, they're all about Christ. The law, that is Genesis, those first five books of the Bible, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers. Our Lord said, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. Moses wrote about me. So Moses, to him give all the prophets witness. The law, the prophets, the Psalms, the whole book is about a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. A description of who He is, a description of what He has done for us. In that same chapter, Luke 24, that we read earlier, remember when the Lord met with those two men on the road to Emmaus and preached the gospel unto them? And then they said one to another, didn't our heart burn within us when He opened to us the word of God? Wouldn't that be a special blessing to each of us here as we look at this psalm, if the Lord would open our understanding that we might meditate and to think upon Him and to worship the Lord as He ought to be worshiped? That's why we come this evening, isn't it? To hear a word from Him. Now, let's look at verse 1 and verse 5 together. Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly or only my soul waiteth upon God. Talking about God who is God. From Him cometh my salvation. He's the God of my salvation. Now look down at verse 5. Verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation, the certainty of being expectation of salvation is from Him. Salvation's of the Lord, and salvation is from Him, and salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 1 and verse 5, we see a threefold lesson is given unto us as believers resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what saving faith does. The faith of God's elect is always looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not looking in here, but looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Upon whom do we wait? God, who is Almighty God. God, who is truly God. We wait upon God. Now, isn't He worth waiting upon? Waiting for, looking with expectation unto Him. God who is truly God. You remember from our study in the book of Isaiah, Many times we read this statement where he says, I am God, beside me there is no other. He's the only just God and Savior. And that being so, he said, look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. He is God, and beside him there is no other. He's a God of all providence, of him and through him and to him are all things. He's too wise to err. He's too holy to do wrong or to make a mistake. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes, he will. And everything he does, it is right. What happens in time, we call that God's good providence. God had decreed from all eternity. And what happens in the fullness of time only comes to pass because God Almighty had decreed it. He's a God of all providence. He's a God of all power. All power belongs unto the Lord. How much power does he have? Absolute power. All power in heaven and earth. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, knowing that I have all power in heaven and in earth. And he said, lo, I'm with you always. He has all power. Power belongs unto the Lord. Therefore, he's too strong to fail. God cannot fail in anything he does. He's not a failure in fulfilling all covenant promises. He's a surety of the covenant promises. He's not a failure in any aspect of salvation or redemption. The scripture says of him, another one of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah 42:4, says he cannot fail. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will and purpose. So he's a God of all providence. This is the God we trust. The God of all providence. He's a God of all power. And he's a God of all salvation. Salvation is from him. He's a God of all grace. And he's a God of all mercy. You remember that scripture? Let me read it to you. I didn't write this down, but let me just read it to you. He's a God of all mercy. And he's a God of all grace. In 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He's a God of all grace. He's a God of all mercy. He's a God of all comfort. He's a God of all salvation. He's all and in all. So, the question being asked, upon whom do we wait? God who is God. Now, secondly, what do we wait for? Truly, how do we wait, rather? How do we wait? Truly, with sincerity of heart, submission of will, we wait silently, resigned and surrendered unto his will. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. Look at verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation of every spiritual blessing is from him. So how do we wait? We wait in submission, resigned to his will. You remember over here, turn with me if you want to, over here in Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Now, aren't his blessings worth waiting for? Being resigned and submitted to his will, to his purpose? Surely they are. Our Lord taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, thy will be done. Now, what do we wait for? Thirdly, from him cometh my salvation. All expectation of all spiritual blessings are in him, and they come from his hand. From his hand, from his heart. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ. All hope is from him. He is a God of hope. All expectation. The hope we have in Christ is a good hope. Through his grace. He's given us an everlasting consolation and a good hope through His grace. All hope, all expectation, all salvation is from the Lord. My expectation of any blessing, of any hope, of any righteousness, any redemption, any pardon of sin is from Him. Salvation is of the Lord. It comes from Him. Look at verse 2 now in verse 6. He only is my rock. That's my foundation. He's my rock and He's my. I like the word my rock, my salvation. He's my defense. Therefore I shall not be moved or not greatly moved. Look at verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. He's my refuge. It is all in Him. All in Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is our rock and He is our Savior. That's the sum and substance of the gospel. And that's the sum and substance and subject matter of all the Word of God. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Who He is and what He has done. Christ is the only rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has only provided one foundation for sinners to find shelter, hope, and refuge. And that rock is Christ. Look back one page. Psalm 61. Look at verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For Thou hast been my shelter, a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of Thy wings. So God is our God. He is the rock that's the sure foundation. You remember from our study in the book of Isaiah, God said, Behold, I lay in Zion for foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And then you remember from our study in 1 Corinthians 3, where the Apostle Paul said, Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, and that foundation is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that rock of ages. He is that foundation that never moves. He is that foundation that's certain and secure. He's the anchor of our soul. It cannot be diminished. It cannot be lessened. It's the eternal rock that we rest upon. Christ alone is our rock, and then He is my rock. He is my salvation. I like what David said in Psalm 27, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He only is my foundation. He only is my salvation. He only is my rock, my salvation, my defense. Therefore, I'm not moved. Now get this picture. Here's this rock of salvation. The rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. The believer has been fastened to that rock. We're on that rock. And we cannot be moved because to move the believer, you got to move the rock. That rock ain't moving. That rock is Christ. That rock is certain and sure, never changes. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Christ alone is that rock, that foundation, and Christ alone is that Savior. He's a Savior that really saves His people from their sin. As a messenger from heaven said, call His name Jesus. He is what He's called, Savior. He shall save His people from their sins. Neither is there salvation in any other. Is there? No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Remember from our study in the book of Acts. The whole of salvation is of the Lord. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega of it. He's the beginning of it, and He's the end of it. Salvation of the Lord in His planning from all eternity, God determined to save a covenant people. Salvation of the Lord in His performance. He performed all things for us. Righteousness honored, the law satisfied, justice honored, sin put away by His performance, not ours. Salvation of the Lord in His purchase. He bought us with His own blood. God bought the church with His own blood. We're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. He says, you're no more your own. You're bought with a price. And salvation of the Lord in His perfection. Predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what predestination is all about. That's what the Word of God teaches. Believers are predestined to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ alone is our only defense. Our only defense. These attorneys over at the courthouse, they always want to have a strong defense. When they're trying to defend the client, boy, they work at it real hard. They want to have the best defense. My friend, we have the best defense. We have the best mediator and advocate. It's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We have Christ being our defense. He's never lost a case. Everyone that He defends before the throne of God's justice, He said, loose him, let him go. I paid the price. I have paid the price. Not guilty. I paid His debt in full. Think about it. The Lord Jesus Christ is our advocate. One God, one mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. John writes, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. But when you do, we have the advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our advocate, our mediator. He ever lived to intercede for us. Boy, that's good defense, is it not? He's provided it for us. He's given it unto us. He is my defense. Therefore, I cannot be moved. Because to move me, you got to move Him. And that ain't going to happen. The believer resting in the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be charged with sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Well, it's Christ who's already died. Yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. Who can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ? The believer, trusting Christ, can never be disowned as the Son of God, can never perish, and can never be removed from Him. We're one with Him eternally. He gives us eternal life. He's obtained for us eternal redemption. Beloved, now are we sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when He shall appear, we shall be with Him. For we shall be like Him as He is. Our Lord said, my sheep can never be removed from His hand. No man can pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. I call that the certainty of salvation in Christ. That's where assurance comes from. It's resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our assurance. He is our salvation. Now look at verse 3 and 4. Look at verse 3 and 4. How long will you imagine mischief against a man, against a believer resting in the Lord Jesus Christ? You shall be slain, all of you, those who oppose the gospel, those who stand in opposition to the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be slain, all of you, those who do not believe the gospel. The wrath of God abides upon them. You shall be slain, and all of you shall fall like a bowing wall or as a tottering fence ready to collapse over. They only consult to cast him down for his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. What does God say about our enemies? Turn back over here to Psalm 2. Believers, enemies are real, but they're defeated and they're marked out for destruction. As sure as a bully wall and sure as a tottering fence. Look at Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? Verse 1. And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cord from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. God is not upset. God is in control of all things, even the enemies of the gospel that rail against us, that rail against God. God will have them in derision. They're under his complete control at all times. Nothing out of control in God's universe. Everything is working according to exactly as God has decreed. They delight in lies, it says there. They don't delight in the truth. They delight in lies. Oh, they may give acknowledgement, blessing with their mouth, but inwardly, their heart's not right with God. That's what he's saying there. Now look down to verse 7. In God is my salvation, and he is my glory. He is my glory. He's the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Now, the language here is real clear, isn't it? God is everything in our salvation. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God our Savior. Let the enemies rail against us as they will, it does not change the fact that salvation is of the Lord and that we stand complete in him. Of his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. We stand complete in Christ. In him dwells all the fullness of a Godhead bodily, and in Christ believers stand complete. Notice carefully, salvation is not only from him, and all spiritual blessings are from him, but they're in him. In God is my salvation. Salvation is not in a church or an experience. Salvation is certainly not in a water baptism, is it? Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the surest marks of our salvation is that we glory only in Christ alone and find all of our hope in him. You want some evidence that you're one of God's elect, believing and resting in the Lord Jesus Christ? The evidence is we glory only in him, not anything else. That's why Paul said, God forbid I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul could have gloried in a lot of things. But he said, I count them all dung, ruin, and loss, that I might win Christ and be found in him. You remember from our lesson Sunday, Christ is all of our salvation. He is God, our Savior. I really enjoyed Brother Henry's TV program Sunday evening. I trust that some of you watched it. But he quoted this scripture from Luke chapter 1, where it said, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For lo, behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Blessed in God my Savior. For he that is mighty hath done great things, hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their imagination of their heart. He put down the mighty from their seat and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent them away empty. We rejoice with Mary and with Hannah. Hannah said the same thing in her prayer. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and I rejoice in God my Savior. Thomas the apostle said the same thing. My Lord and my God. Christ is the rock and strength of our salvation. And God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength. What's the strength of that foundation we rest upon? It's Christ, is it not? And my refuge, the refuge we have is not a refuge of lies. It's a refuge of truth. Christ Himself is our refuge in which we hide, being accepted in the Beloved. Look at verse 8. Now, all that being so, trust Him. God put everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. All mercy, grace, blessing, redemption, salvation is all in Him. Now, trust in Him once in a while. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart. Oh, just pour it out. Empty out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. And that word Selah, that means, just pause a minute and stop and think about that. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Seeing that our God and Savior is the only refuge given and provided for us, it would be utter foolishness to trust in something else or someone else, would it not? In times of plenty or in times of poverty, trust in Him. In times of loneliness or times of fellowship, trust in Him at all times. In times of sickness or health, in times, good times and bad times, funny times and lean times, trust in Him at all times. Look over here at Psalm 31. You remember this psalm? We studied it not too many weeks ago. Psalm 31. My times are in Thy hand. Verse 15. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant and save me. Lord, save me for Thy mercy's sake. Remember what the publican prayed, Lord, have mercy upon me, the sinner. And the Lord said that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. And then He says, pour out your heart, verse 8, back in Psalm 62. Trust Him at all times, ye people, you people chosen of God. We're called sheep of His pasture, the people of His hand. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. So we, Thy people, and the sheep of Thy pasture, will give Thee thanks forever and ever. Trust Him at all times. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Now, what a privilege God gives us to pray unto the Lord and just unbare your heart. Just unbury your soul and your heart and cry out to Him. Pour out your heart. As Paul says in Philippians 4, we're going to look at that on Sunday. Make your request be made known unto God. Pour out your heart before Him. God is our refuge. God is our righteousness. God is our redemption. God is our reconciliation. Pour out your heart before Him. You need help? Pour out your heart before Him. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Look at verse 9 and 10. Surely, this is true. Surely, truly, men of low degree are vanity. If you go to the other end of the scale, men of high degree, they're a lie. To be laid in the balance, they're altogether lighter than vanity or nothing. Psalm 39 verse 5 says, remember, man at his best state is altogether vanity. Vanity. I was thinking of this scripture earlier today found in Daniel 5 verse 27 where it said, Thou art found in the balance and found that thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. And then another scripture comes to my mind. Let me just read it to you. Found over here in Isaiah 40. He said, "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. He taketh up the isles as a very little thing." Isaiah 40, verse 15. "And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing and vanity." You see what he's saying here? What really counts? Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely men are vanity, high or low, they're nothing but a lie, and laid in the balance of God's justice, they're not going to tip the scale. They're nothing but vanity. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Then it says, verse 10, Psalm 62, verse 10, "Trust not." Now he told us to trust the Lord. Now he tells us what not to do. "Trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them." So trust not in the sinful flesh, yours or anyone else. "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord." Would you trust in that which God said is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? Don't trust yourself, trust him. "Trust not poverty or plenty. Being a poor man is no evidence of grace, nor is being a rich man evidence of the Lord's blessings. Set not your heart upon worldly gain. If riches do increase, don't trust them. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient." You want to read that with me? Let's turn to read and read that. I believe that's Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, verse 8. Verse 7 and 8. Proverbs 30. "Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with food convenient." Now look at verse 9. "Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of God in vain." So I don't want to trust in poverty or riches. I want to trust in him. At all times, you people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. In closing, look at these two verses, 11 and verse 12. God has spoken once. Boy, he doesn't need to speak anymore. God has spoken once, and that's a blessing. Everything God speaks, it shall be forever. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but his word will not pass away. The spoken word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The spoken word and the written word. God has spoken, and he's spoken to us by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said here, "Twice have I heard this." What do you want to hear twice? Power. Power belongs to God. Now, I know people and politicians, they think they have power. Certain kings in certain countries, they think they have power. Remember what our Lord said to Pilate? "You don't have any power at all over me except that which my Father gives you." God has all power in heaven and in earth. He said, "All power is mine." Power belongs to the Lord. That's what I've heard. I heard this more than once. I've heard it twice. I've heard it 200 times. I've heard it 2,000 times, haven't you? 200,000 times. Salvation is of the Lord. "All power," he said, "given to me in heaven and earth, that I should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given to me." God has spoken once. What a blessing. But twice I've heard this. Power belongs to God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. He's a God of mercy. God who delights to show mercy. For God will render to every man exactly what he deserves. Those resting in Christ will get exactly what Christ deserves, all honor and glory and blessing. Those resting in the flesh will get exactly what they deserve, for the wages of sin is death. But here's what I want you to see. Power and mercy. When you put God, who is God, who has power over all things, and you marry that with his mercy, what do you have? Sovereign mercy. He will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and he will harden whom he will harden. Power and mercy belong to the Lord, because salvation is of the Lord.